7. We have been studying the subject matter of Israel and the nations, and I'm sure we have visited this passage before, because you can't talk about the nation of Israel without understanding that God has a unique, special, eternal, covenantal relationship with the nation of Israel in several respects, as an elect people, as an elect nation, as a nation that He intends to exalt during the millennial reign. But it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, you wonder, why would God exalt this nation? I mean, if you study the books of the Bible, especially the first five books, it ought to alarm you how much this people that's been chosen of God is rebellious, unbelieving, contrary to God. And yet it goes back to the idea in Romans 11 where it says that God hath not cast off His people, which He did foreknow. He loved them with an everlasting love. And that's what Deuteronomy 7 tells us. He says in verse 6, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth." That may be one explanation why the nations of the earth are against the nation of Israel. Because they have been chosen of God. And God says that they have an exalted place in His plan, in His purpose, above all the nations of the earth. And it says in verse 7, lest they would get prideful at this announcement, "The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate Him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth Him, He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them." God has a purpose. And again, this special purpose may be one of the reasons why why the nations of the earth hate the Jews. Now, there's another reason why they're experiencing a lot of what they're experiencing over the past 2,000 years. And it's because of their treatment of one of their own. The Lord Jesus Christ, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And the nation of Israel was part of in the providence of God, their rebellion was part of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never believed that God changed His purpose or that God had a plan A and a plan B. God has no plan Bs. This was all purpose before the world began. Now tonight, that's kind of where I left off last week. Tonight we're going to look at Israel's decline and their dispersion. When you study the book of Deuteronomy, you find out that God warned Israel against idolatry and against departing from Him, stating that there would be severe consequences. And if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, it's a chapter of blessing and cursing. And it says, we'll read just a few of these verses to highlight what God promised if the nation of Israel would depart from Him. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. He gives you a whole list of them here. Verse 45, he says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep His commandments and His statutes, which He commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. God plainly warned them exactly what was going to happen if they departed from His way. Look over at verse 62. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And you know what? The principles of these blessings and cursings, a lot of these things can apply to everyday Christian living when you get right down to it. It's a lesson for us. Israel would not obey. God chastened them sorely, so severely, that they have for really two millennia until 1948, they were scattered. They didn't have a homeland. They were persecuted. They were hated by the nations of the earth. It's because God was fulfilling His purpose in cursing them for not doing right. Now, verse 63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over thee to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked off from off the land which thou goest to possess it. There is a clear declaration that God is going to disperse the nation of Israel for their disobedience. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth even into the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. God brought these cursings upon the nation of Israel. Now, of course, this was written as they were preparing to go into the promised land. And when you look at the history of Israel, God blessed them in so many ways. He gave them that land that He had promised. He enabled them to get rid of a lot of the inhabitants that were idolaters. as long as they were following God's principles. They were especially, they were warring against these nations. And God was enabling them to have victory with Joshua as their leader. And they served the Lord. They honored the Lord. But again, you look at the book of Judges. When the Israelites, it's one of the themes is, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so God, they would go into idolatry, and then God would send them a judge. They'd repent, they'd get straight, then they'd go back into it, and he'd send them another judge. And this history of Israel, God blessing, God chastening, is something you see all the way through. And then God gave them, first of all, the king. They wanted a king. They weren't satisfied with God as their king. So they requested that they have a king like all the other nations. And they gave, God gave them King Saul, who proved to be a lousy king, a terrible leader. And God rent the kingdom from him because he disobeyed. And then David became king. And David was used mightily of the Lord. The nations around them were subdued. God established him. And he wanted to build God a house. He wanted to go from tabernacle worship to the temple worship. And God would not allow it. And he said, no, but this I'll let Solomon, your son. David died, Solomon became king, and as far as earthly Israel is concerned, that was the zenith of their power and their glory when perhaps the wisest man at that day, Solomon, a powerful leader yet was not without his flaws. I've never figured out why in the world, how in the world, a guy with that many wives and cucumber vines. No, it's concubines. I think it was one, a preacher was preaching one time. He said, I don't know why he had to have all those cucumber vines. That preacher couldn't read real well. He instead of concubines, he thought it was cucumber vines. But why would Solomon do that? God forbid it. It was wrong. It was adultery. It was sin. And something that I've never been able to figure out, that some of the most powerful passages of the Bible are found in the book of Proverbs. I love studying the book of Proverbs. Yet God inspired Solomon, this flawed man, to write the book of Proverbs. Do you ever think about things like that? It's just the sovereignty of God. The providence of God. Proving that God can override the depravity of man for his own glory and honor. But Israel had great glory during the days of Solomon. In fact, the Queen of Sheba came and said, wow, there's no other king like Solomon. He's got riches. He's got wisdom. Look at his servants. Look at the people that serve in the kingdom. They all are happy. They're glad to be serving the king. But when Solomon died, his son Rehoboam took over. He did not possess the wisdom of his father. And when the older men said, you know, you ought to kind of do things this way. And then he went to the younger men and they said, no, you do whatever you want. You're the new king. And things fell apart. Jeroboam led a revolt against Rehoboam and the nation of Israel was divided. The tribes of Judah and Benjamin and the half-tribe of Manasseh remained. That split occurred in 931 B.C. The 10 tribes under Jeroboam established themselves as the northern kingdom. And immediately they set up images. They became an idolatrous people. And God raised up the Assyrians in 722 B.C. and carried those 10 tribes into captivity. They were dispersed, and for all intents and purposes, and in a very real way, they lost their identity as a people. Again, it's going back to these blessings and these cursings. Make no mistake about it. When God says something in His Word, He means it. He's going to carry it out. In 587 B.C., Judah and Benjamin were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. Actually, he took several of prominent people of Israel into captivity. And 70 years later, they were permitted to return to Jerusalem. The walls were rebuilt. The temple was rebuilt. But Israel never regained their glory among the nations. And then God sent, after all the prophecies, you look at all the prophecies that relate to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there were 400 what they call silent years between Malachi and Matthew, where God did not speak to a prophet or to the nation of Israel. And God sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Savior of sinners. His humanity was formed. And now this is something. Think about this. Our Savior, in His humanity, was a Jew. He was an Israelite. His humanity was formed in the womb of a Jewish virgin. Just as the prophet Isaiah had foretold. This is one reason why people should not hate the Jewish people. The Messiah came. The Savior of the world. The one who would lighten the Gentiles and Jews all across the world. The Savior of men came through the tribe of Judah. We ought to cherish and thank God that He used the Jewish nation in such a fashion that the Messiah would come through that chosen nation. And of course, that's the real reason why God loved Israel. He knew what His ultimate purpose was in singling them out among the nations and giving them the law and the covenants and the way of worship and all the typology in the tabernacle, the temple, the furniture, the priest's garments, all of the sacrifices. They were all pointing to the ultimate Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who would put away sin. Let us never disparage the Jewish people. Our Savior is a Jew. But when He came into His own people as the Messiah, they were blinded by ceremonial ritualism and political bondage, and they rejected Him. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. For 3.5 years, our Savior walked the earth as a man of sorrows. This was after He declared Himself in His public ministry. He walked the earth as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, just as Isaiah 53 portrayed Him. They rejected the Lord, and they became a nation of sorrows. They became a nation acquainted with grief for 2,000 years. The Jews exiled their king and would not have him to reign over them. As a result, they became exiles among the nations. For nearly 2,000 years, they lived in borrowed lands. In 70 AD, The Roman general Titus came to Jerusalem and completely leveled it, burned it to the ground. Again, this is part of God's purpose. Jesus had plainly told him, look over at Luke chapter 21. In verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There's that little beacon light of hope. When the time of the Gentiles shall be fulfilled. Jews were dispersed. They were persecuted. All according to God's plan, God's purpose. They rejected the Lord Christ the first time He came. And the history of Israel since the first advent of Christ has been written in blood and tears. And it struck me vividly as I recall, it's hard to identify with people. But what really kind of got me was this may sound really worldly, but I'm sorry. I was watching Fiddler on the Roof. And it's a story about the Jews in Russia. And when the communists took over, they did basically what the Nazis did in Germany. They got rid of Jews. And the very last scene of that thing is Tevye and his entire family have everything packed up on a donkey cart that they have to pull manually to get out of Russia. And it really struck me. Here is somebody who's lived generations in Russia. And now, within a moment's notice, they have to pull up everything that's near and dear. And with just basically the clothes on their back, they are purged from that nation. And it got me sorrowful. To think how many times that has been reenacted throughout history. When the Jewish people have been persecuted, hated, hounded, dispersed. And I'm telling you, we're living in a day and age where there is so much Jew hatred. Hatred for the nation of Israel. That it's alarming to me. And I fear that unlike any other time in this United States history, we have a lot of people that are more sympathetic with Hamas and Hezbollah and Muslim terrorism on our shores, in this country, celebrating the attack on the Jewish people and justifying Islamic terrorism. We have that in our country. I'm kind of old school, but I think any professor and any university that's teaching that to kids, that they ought to hate the Jews, that they ought to blame everything that's wrong on the Jews. They ought to be fired, lose their tenure, lose their retirement. But this is where we are. And it's not without purpose. I'm telling you, we're leading up to the days of Jacob's trouble. If you think things are bad right now, if you think world conditions are bad right now, in general and for the Jews. Believe me, you ain't seen nothing yet during the Great Tribulation. Now, I personally have a hope. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not looking for the revelation of the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus to come. But those that are left are going to suffer terrible turmoil. Go back to Jeremiah 31 and verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. This is a prophecy. The same God who scattered them, dispersed them, is one day going to gather them. It's a promise. Jeremiah is full of prophecies like that, as we're going to see as this study unfolds. But Hosea chapter 9 is another promise related to this truth. Hosea chapter 9. And verse 17. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto Him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Amos chapter 9 and verse 15. Well, let's read verse 14. Let's just read the whole book of Amos. No, this is Amos 9:14. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. That hasn't happened yet. He said, well, they're in the land right now. Yeah, but they're not there in peace. And God has blessed them there materially. And in a lot of ways. But the real blessing's not going to come until the Spirit of God is poured out upon them. And they see the one whom they pierced. And they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to end with a quote from a book that I've been reading. It was given to me by Garner Smith. It was recommended by Brother Cockrell years ago. This is I Am Haldeman. Wrote this in 1910. He said this. Now, mind you, this is 1910, before the Jews ever were recognized as a nation, before Israel was recognized. They're dispersed. He says this: For 2,000 years, the Jews have been the butt, the jibe, the mockery, the scorn, and the contempt of the Gentile world. They have been more than laughed at, more than mocked. They have been the objects of persecution unparalleled. Remember, this is written in 1910. This is even before the Holocaust. They have been whipped, beaten with rods, stoned, imprisoned, robbed, and burned alive. The men have been enslaved, the women ruthlessly ravished, and the children destroyed. Sounds a lot like what happened on October 7th. They have been thrown into wells, sent to sea in rotten ships, flayed alive, tortured, hunted as wild beasts are hunted, and their lives prolonged in agony until death has become a benediction. For centuries, whoever robbed or killed a Jew felt that he did God a service. They were not allowed to own a rood of land, nor testify in court, and in some places were charged the toll weight over a bridge as though they had been a herd of cattle or a flock of sheep. Because they had no recourse, because all men were their enemies, and every hand was against them, their character responded to the times and its usage. That has been the plight of the Jewish nation ever since they rejected their Messiah. Now next week, and like I said, it's going to get worse. You think things really look bad now, it's going to get worse. But next week I'm going to start getting into the prophecies about Israel and the nations regarding their restoration to God, to their land, and spiritually to Him. So we'll get on to that next week, God willing. Let's all stand.